Let us be encouraged tonight, my friends, from God's holy word. And I'd really like to encourage us. This kind of goes, you know, piggybacking off the, you know, bittersweet but blessed funeral on Tuesday. That was for Brother Jim Wood. Thank you for praying for that down in Hartford. My wife and I were blessed to go. And it's always a joy to go to a really a life celebration type of thing, a homegoing of a believer. Because we know, of course, that he is, of course, in a lot better place than we are. I do appreciate your prayers for Sister Virginia Wood going forward. She was really blessed to see us. And she had asked me to kind of give a few remarks. So I was blessed to do that about Brother Wood. But it kind of got me thinking, of course, sitting there, you know, in the service, in the funeral service of what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes. Of course, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. Of course, as I sat there, we were blessed to kind of see all the, you know, it's what you expect, but it's still such a blessing, all the photos. And I guess Sister Wood, she's quite the scrapbooker. And so we got to enjoy. She had her and Jim's 50th anniversary scrapbook album out, you know, on the many, many pages, very nicely done. And so we got to see all the photos, all the smiles. You know, they had, of course, had the slideshow going, you know, of Brother Wood as a baby. It's amazing. Even though he was only, I don't know, 1 year old in the photo, you could tell it's the same face. It's just amazing. I mean, now, most of us, we've only known the Woods towards the latter end of their years. You know, when they came, they were already in their 70s, you know. But it was a blessing to just know them and kind of see that side kind of behind the scenes. And that was a real blessing to my heart, just to hear the testimonies from other friends and families who were there, just the blessing that he's been to the hundreds that he has pastored over the years, and so it was a blessing to be there. Wonderful homegoing service. The Lord was glorified. The gospel was preached, you know, when Sister Wood had asked me to kind of say something about her husband, kind of got me thinking. Well, what should I say, you know? And then I saw his photo in the obituary, and if you need that, you can ask. I can send you the link for that. But she did have his photo in his obituary. I don't know if you can see that. I kind of tried to print it out. Can you see that here? His photo, and that's the Jim that we know and love, you know, Brother Jim. And when I saw his photo, as soon as I saw his smiling face, I knew what the Lord wanted me to speak on. That Brother Jim would he had the joy of the Lord. He was a happy, happy saint. And kind of piggyback on that in tonight's message as well. It's titled, God's Joy Equals Our Strength. God's Joy Equals Our Strength. Of course, it's from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And that's where we find the verse, of course, but it certainly applies in all walks of Christian life, not just in building a wall, okay? But let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8 in the Old Testament. We'll find Nehemiah after the Kings and Chronicles. You'll find Ezra, Nehemiah, and then right before Esther. But Nehemiah chapter 8, and then verse 10, of course, you know, there, just to put some context, the wall has been built, and the people are kind of, you know, come together for service, and they're reading God's word, and they're getting really convicted, rightfully so, hearing God's word, because the people have sinned. But of course, God doesn't want them to stay down. We are to be convicted and repent from our sin, but God also wants to remind them that he is going to restore them. And that is an occasion of joying to be blessed with and to celebrate. And so Nehemiah encourages the people. And let's go to verse 10. It says, and then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. In other words, no one should have an excuse to be down. Okay, this is a wonderful day because of God's grace. For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house today. And Father, we just give you praise for your goodness and mercy. Thank you again. It's fresh in my mind, Lord, just the homegoing of Brother Jim Wood. Thank you for his sweet testimony, the evidence of your joy in his life shown on his face. It was his strength. And Lord, we thank you so much for your watch care over us. Thank you for your love. And may your joy be our strength as well. And Holy Spirit of God, bless these anoint these lips of clay that I would speak what you would happen to say, Father, and that you will encourage us from heaven on high as we do desire to feast on the heavenly bread, that heavenly manna, even tonight, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to just start off by sharing a little bit of what I shared during the funeral about Brother Jim Wood. And I addressed him as Pastor Wood. That was how most people were calling him then, Pastor Jimmy Wood. But I just called him Pastor Wood. I said, he's such a wonderful and godly man who touched the lives of everyone here, representing us here at Northside Baptist Church. Every Sunday, we would see his smiling face. And in fact, they had kind of a screen to the right side here. And so they had his beautiful smile up there. And one thing, if you look at his face, this is a face of a man who knew the Lord as his Savior. He was always joyful, and I appreciate just his smile. He would come to service, of course. We were blessed to hear him sing joyfully, praises to the Lord. He was a really good singer, too. He sang loud, which is a good combination, loud and good, and so that's a blessed thing. And we were blessed to have him and his wife here with us. And then Pastor Wood was always happy, always, as far as I can remember. Of course, not that he didn't have bad days. I never saw it, but I would assume, like anyone else, he would have bad days. But of course, his happiness was not based on external circumstances. His joy was rooted in Jesus Christ. And of course, as we just read here, the joy of the Lord is his strength. And I could see, I trust you could too, you could see the realness of God's love in him. You could tell that his faith was the real deal because he loved like Jesus. He lived for Jesus. He sang to Jesus. Of course, now he is with Jesus. And so Brother Wood was such a blessing. He was an advocate for myself. He was an encouragement to all of us as a church family. And he was a voice for our Lord. And so I just praise the Lord for being able to know him and his dear wife. So I just want to just kind of share that. But it kind of got me thinking to the heart of the scripture tonight, that the joy of the Lord. And Brother Wood had that. He was living proof of this verse. God's joy was his strength. You know, even though he kind of seemed hobbling around. In fact, that was, I didn't know, it was a degenerative nerve disease that kind of really came full circle when he was about 50 years old. And so he had permanent braces to his legs. And so he would be hobbling. Even when we met him, he already had those braces. But you would always tell that, you know, he was just joyful. Kind of a goofy grin on his face. He was just happy to be here, happy to worship the Lord. And he loved his Savior. But it kind of got me thinking in the scriptures, how exactly does God's joy, as Nehemiah says, and I try to put myself in the shoes of one of these Israelites, when he says, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so it got me thinking, how really does that translate? How can someone else's joy translate to my strength? Like if I'm joyful, isn't that just my joy? I mean, how does that transfer to be strength on your part? Well, it kind of got me thinking, and so imagine, imagine there's an all-powerful king, all right? And whatever he wills happens, you know, none can oppose him. He has infinite wealth, absolute power. Now, consider, out of all his subjects, this omnipotent king loves you. He totally, genuinely, completely loves you. He favors you. You're like his special, okay? He favors you. You're like his pet. He delights in you. He blesses you. He protects you. He joys over you. He joys over you. Well, what does that do? Well, that gives you strength, doesn't it? If this all-supreme king favors us and joys over us, there's nothing that we need to fear. Now, here's the wonderful truth, of course. This almighty king is real. And he is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord our God. And God indeed joys over us. He loves us. And so the context, when Nehemiah says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, the idea, the interpretation, the context is the joy of the Lord over us and for us. The truth that he never changes and that he loves us and joys over us, this truth is our strength. When we know this, it blesses us to no end. The walls had been rebuilt, but again, the context, it was not as tall or as strong or as thick or as impressive as what the walls of Jerusalem used to be. It was not as impressive as the walls of the foreign cities around them. So the people felt bad when they were convicted of God's word, which rightfully so. But if you go to the end part there of verse 9, it says, "For all the people wept when they heard the word of the law," which it's good to be convicted by the word of God. It's good for us to be cut by the word of God because they realized how sinful they were, how far they've fallen. And this is why they were in where they were, is because of their sin and trespass against God. So they all felt really down. But God didn't want them to remain down. He wanted them to rejoice because God loves them and he's going to restore them. Okay? It's coming full circle where God is saying, "Well, that's I did punish you. Babylonian captivity, we know all that. But now, as God had decreed before, after 70 years and it's time to come back and to rebuild, God is going to bless and restore them as he said." And so think of it as a parent who corrects a child. Yes, the parent can chastise and can spank, can discipline their child. They do it because they love them. They aren't punishing the child to kick them out. They're not going to cast the child away. They want the child to learn from it. But the parent joys over their child, right? They joy over their child. They want the child to know that. More than feeling down for sinning, God desired here at this point, they've repented, they want to do right, and he wants them to be lifted up by the truth that God loves them and he joys over us. Proverbs 17, verse 22 tells us, of course, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." If we are generally unhappy, it's kind of a downer, okay? If we typically are more unhappy, the all it takes is the slightest mishap, and that will kind of sideline us, to kind of derail us. It doesn't take much. The smallest thing that doesn't go our way can kind of incapacitate us. But if we have the joy of the Lord, we have his strength, his joy in us, that's our strength to persevere. And by the way, God never changes. When he joys over us forever. That's awesome. Always remember that God loves you, God joys over you. Have we sinned? Yes, of course. God chastises us, but he restores us. Who did Jesus suffer for? Us. Who did Jesus get crucified for? Us. Maybe we can say me, personalize it. Who did Jesus rise from the dead for? Me. Who does Jesus love? Me. Who does Jesus joy over? Me. If you go to verse 11 and 12, say this, "So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved." God doesn't want them to grieve. He says, "Hey, I'm going to, yes, I know the Babylonian captivity was tough. That was the result and punishment for your sin. But I'm bringing you back. Rejoice, people, rejoice." And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, so they did what they should, and to send portions and to make great mirth. Mirth, that word mirth means great joy, laughter, merriment, jolliness. Okay, everyone's just, it started to start bubble up, and next thing you know, everyone was wearing smiles. And I think to myself, what a wonderful testimony. Where's his smiling face here? here it is. What a joy. I see Brother Jim Wood's smiling face to have every Israelite, everyone in church, okay, just grinning like this because they know that they're saved. They know they're forgiven. They know that they're restored. Praise God for that. Great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. They got it. God's joy, the joy of the Lord, is our what? Strength. Don't ever forget that. God loves us. He joys over us. This is their program that they had, during the funeral service. And I was very blessed that they included Brother Wood's salvation testimony. And so I just want to read that for us. This will bless your heart. And so he writes here previously, "It was my mother who dedicated me to the Lord when I was but an infant, took me to Sunday school and church as a child. During my early childhood, I heard the gospel many times, but never responded to the message personally. So one evening, I sat listening to my parents discussing a prediction made by a false cult, okay, concerning the coming of the end of the world. At one point, you know, everyone was talking about it. So listening intently, I knew in my heart that if the Lord would end the world, I was a sinner bound for an eternity without Christ. After I spent a very sleepless night, my mother asked me if I would like to talk with our pastor. So in his study, Pastor Andrews stressed the importance of a personal relationship with and an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the verses of scripture that the Holy Spirit used in my life that evening was Romans 6:23. We know this verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That day, March 9th, 1960, so I did the math, he was 10 years old. Okay, he would have been 11 that November, so in March he was still 10. So at 10 years old, Brother Wood says, I believed God's word, received Christ as my personal Savior. Hallelujah. Brother Wood grew up like any other kid, but at the age of 10, he got saved. And he's been truly happy ever since, and has been wearing that smile ever since, all the way until God took him home. The final song that he sang, even as he was in the hospital in his final days and final moments, I'm going to see if I can remember correctly here. I don't know if Gina can correct me if I misquoted, but it was Sister Paulette who had played on her piano some recordings of different songs that he liked, and they had sent it to him. And so they were playing it in his hospital room, you know, just the favorite hymns that he enjoyed. And the final song that he sang that he was listening to was the hymn, His Eye is on the Sparrow. That was the final song. And, of course, he was very weak, and so he was just kind of out of it, in and out kind of thing. But as the song came to a close, he sang the last closing lines of that song. They got it on camera. But you could barely hear him, but he was mouthing the words, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And those were his final words, and he passed on to glory shortly after. This is the words of that song, his eye is on the sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy, right? I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And Sister Virginia, she was just so tearful and blessed to just share with Jean and I just the testimony of her husband hearing the recording that Paulette had done for him. And he was pretty much out of it. But as the song concluded, he made himself, he wanted to sing it. I know my Savior, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Praise the Lord. You know, to have the joy of the Lord, to know, to be fully persuaded, as Paul did, right? That nothing could separate him from the love of God because God joys over him. That was his strength. If we understand and truly realize just the scope, the breadth, the height, the depth, right, of the love of God for you and I, that's our strength. That keeps us going. Even when days are dark, even when we have to hobble, even when things don't turn out the way we like it to, God's joy is our strength. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a reminder, Lord, even as you think of Nehemiah, but again, just the passing of this dear saint, Brother Wood. What a testimony, Lord, that he was for you. I thank you for his smile and, Lord, the joy, your joy in him that was so evident to all of us. And so, Father, I praise you for that testimony. Help me, Lord, to wear a smile on my face, Lord, not to fake it, but truly to be thankful that I'm saved, thankful that I'm yours, thankful that you are mine. And Lord, what a wonderful wonderful truth it is, Lord. And so help us to be joyful Christians, Lord. It's not right if we are just, you know, grumpy Christians. Let us be joyful Christians. We thank you, Lord, and in this joy that we will be strong and steadfast in your truth, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.